Thank you for taking the time to talk to me about this. And I had a chance to, I got the movie last night. I had a chance to watch it. It's a very inspiring movie. It's a sad movie. I think it's very well made. What has been your responses, the response from seeing this film from audiences?
Well, I mean, the metrics speak for themselves. I mean, we've been very blessed with a very positive response. My job was pretty easy. I just had to tell the story. I had to point the camera and talk to the right people. And Michael's story tells itself. And the audience has responded to it. You know, going into a project like this, especially a small non-Hollywood documentary, you can only hope that you're going to get some kind of positive feedback. But we've gotten positive reviews from Washington Post and Hollywood Reporter, New York Times. You know, our audience approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes is 98%. So I think the audience is really appreciative of what of Michael's story and the sacrifice that he made.
How did the documentary start? I mean, whose idea was it? Was it something that you came to the family with, or was it something initiated by the family?
I had a relationship, a friendship with Gary Williams, who was the author of Seal of Honor, which is Michael's biography. Mm-hmm. And
I remember we met at the airport.
We did.
You flew in. Gary and I were going down to Annapolis to talk with the Naval Institute Press about Gary's book, Seal of Honor, and we met you at an airport, and you had were taken with the whole concept of the book, and the discussion went from there as far as moving this not only from the book but into a film.
Exactly. And when we first discussed it, Kevin, we had discussed a feature film, a dramatization. Mm-hmm. And the more that we talked about it, the more that we thought about it, and the more we realized that trying to do a parallel big budget Hollywood type of film, mm-hmm. competing with Lone Survivor, probably was not the right way to do it. And I had just finished another documentary on the fallen military person that was my cousin. And so I know how to do that. I know how to do it well. And I finally went back to Dan back in May of 2012 and said, Mr. Murphy, we should consider possibly doing this as a documentary and try to sync it up with the commissioning of the USS Michael Murphy in New York City. Mm-hmm. And as soon as Dan and Maureen gave me the blessing, then it was afterburners. You know, we went into a very, very intense 6-month period of not only producing the film, doing it on the fly, but also simultaneously trying to raise the money to keep the machine going. I mean, literally the week before it premiered to Michael's friends and family, we had to sell camera equipment to get the editing completed. So,
wow.
That's how it went from, we had one concept early on, but we realized that Michael's story is much better suited to a documentary because there's so much to say. There's so much to his life other than just Operation Red Wings. And that's really what the movie's about.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of background to it that I saw. So a 6-month production schedule, pretty much post-production, pre-production, I mean, you had a very short amount of time to do this.
Precisely, and we were literally working, 18 to 20-hour days trying to meet that deadline. And in fact, I have an office in Virginia, and the night before it premiered, we didn't have enough time to output the film to a proper format for the projector. So I had to load my 27-inch iMac into the car and drive up to Manhattan and take it into the theater that night and actually show the movie off of our editing software. That's how close it was for us to get it done. So
that's independent film for you, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I was impressed with the film was that it didn't take the approach that you would expect for a film like this. It didn't really seem to have an agenda. I mean, in terms of anything political, it wasn't pushing or anything. It was an honoring Michael Murphy and giving his background. Were there any sort of pitfalls you were trying to avoid in making this so that it wouldn't turn into something or spiral out of control or get beyond what your original concept was?
when I first met with Dan and when we agreed to move forward with this, I looked him in the eye and I shook his hand and I told him that this was not going to be a political statement one way or the other. And the other promise that I made was that it was about Michael. And we stayed, all we had to do every day when we worked was just stay true to that. And it was easy. It was easy from there. We kept the promise that we made, and I think we did a pretty good job of keeping the focus on the subject and not diluting it or clouding it by some sort of political agenda either way. That would do nothing but ruin the story. So that's how we approached it.
Now, Dan, were you involved in helping get the get a lot of the interviews? I mean, obviously, the direct family. You see much more, but I mean, the friends and the family, was that something that you were sort of a go-between for a lot of that?
Well, I think it when Scott, when this finally came to fruition and he came up to New York and said, I'd like to interview the family and flesh out Michael's story. It was a given that he needed to talk to especially Michael's closest friends, the five who made up what you might say Michael's crew, his lifeguard crew. So we had made arrangements. We spoke, we called all of Michael's friends who we still stay in touch with, and told them that Scott would be up here with a film crew. He'd like you all to come in and give your impressions and discuss Michael. And that's basically all we had to do. I mean, Scott did all the work. We just answered questions and he did everything else.
Okay.
I mean, Michael's story is compelling enough. I mean, he and his team, and most people, kind of know of him, because of the honors that have been bestowed on Michael and his SEAL team. And of course the publicity that accompanied Lone Survivor. So it wasn't like this story of Operation Red Wings was unknown.
Have you gotten any responses from any of the other families of the personnel that were involved in the mission?
Oh, sure. We're all supportive of each other. First and foremost, Michael was part of a team. It wasn't Michael's effort. And in my remarks to that I give, I always say, as much as Michael fought and died for his men fought and died for him.
Yeah.
And so this isn't just about Michael. This is about, Axelson, and it's about Danny Dietz, and it's about Marcus and Dan Healy. So we're all in touch, and the family's been really careful because in this regard is that it's not just about Mike, and we're really funny about that, both Maureen and I, so that memorials that are brought up that people want to do, like at Michael's Park, there's a Lieutenant Michael P. Murphy Memorial Park, but within the park is a big granite plaque that has all 19 members of Michael's team, and the Night Stalkers on it in what we call Serenity Plaza, to pay homage not just to Michael but to all his teammates. And same thing on the ship, on the USS Michael Murphy, there's a Wall of Honor that has pictures and graphics and a storyline about each of the 19 who lost their lives in Operation Red Wings. And that was important to us. As a matter of fact, the two rigid inflatable hull boats that are on the USS Michael Murphy are named Axelson and Dietz for Matt and Danny Dietz.
Okay.
And the gun is named Cindy after Danny Dietz's mom, Cindy Dietz.
Oh, okay.
So throughout the ship even is a commemoration. While the ship bears Michael's name, it carries the memory and souls of 19 other sailors and Army special operators who lost their life during this mission.
You've mentioned Lone Survivor a couple times, and since that comes out on a wide release this week, have you had a chance to see it? And sort of two-part question, what are your thoughts on the movie itself? And what are your thoughts on, it's Taylor Kitsch who plays Michael, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Taylor Kitsch plays Michael. I've seen it actually three times. There was a private viewing with Peter Berg when it was first done. Yeah. And then there was the premiere in New York City on December 3rd, and then there was a family and friends premiere on December the, I think it was the 12th.
Yeah.
And we had a chance, you know, and so I've seen it. Taylor did a great job. To be perfectly honest, I think the movie better tracks the story that Gary lays out in Seal of Honor than I think Marcus originally did in Lone Survivor.
Oh, really?
Because Gary in his methodical research brought out the substance of what happened on that mountain and how it happened, so that while Marcus was there and gave his story the way he understood it and unfolded, Gary's attempts afterwards to look at not just Marcus's work but everything that was surrounding it, I think puts it in better context.
Okay.
But Taylor did a great, I must tell you, Taylor did a great job playing Michael, as did Mark Wahlberg playing Marcus, because they were able to really capture the essence of that friendship between Marcus and Michael, because they were best friends. And so I thought it was telling that as a father and as a family member, as some of the other family members saw, including Marcus, that Taylor and Mark Wahlberg were such good actors that they were able to pick up that character development and the essence of what made Michael Michael and Marcus Marcus and the connection between the two of them.
Was it Michael who was a big fan of Anchorman?
Yes, Ron and Ron Burgundy, yeah.
Yes.
And the New York Rangers.
Yes, yes, definitely. What was the inspiration for the reason for how you put together the scholarship winner in the film? Because it takes a while to reveal why you're profiling this guy, and of course it makes sense when you get to the end. This, I guess, more for Scott. What was your reasoning, or what was your thought on initially putting that together? Did you want to kind of keep that a little bit mysterious as to who this person was and how he ties into the whole story?
Yeah, precisely. I mean, the mystery, I mean, we knew that we were intentionally doing a bit of a red herring thing there to make the audience kind of wonder what was going on. But there were really two reasons for it. First and foremost is that we needed some sort of a mechanism to demonstrate Michael's extended legacy 25, 50 years down the road. Mm-hmm. And what better way to do that than to show how someone took their education and paid it forward. And so that was one reason. And then the other one, in the documentary world, it can be very tedious if you just go through and tell something A to Z without giving the audience some sort of a break. Then it becomes a news program. What we needed to do was give folks a chance to breathe, especially in some of the more intense parts of the film. You have to let your audience breathe and sort of assimilate what they've just seen or heard. And so by inserting Hector's story in there, we give them a chance to grasp the gravitas of what Michael went through. So that's how we came up with that mechanism.
You know, it's important to know when Scott talks about that legacy, that Hector Velez-Nau was in medical school. And when I think about it, I think the fact that Michael's scholarship assisted him, that he's going to become a doctor.
Yeah.
And he's going to be providing services to people that will make them well and will cure. And, you know, he could find a cure to cancer for all we know. And so in that regard, Michael's continuing to do his work, which is saving lives.
And that brings up a good point, Dan. That was, you know, one of the most frequently asked questions that I get is what impressed me most or what resonates the most about my experience on making this film. And something struck me after the premiere, because all of Michael's friends and family were there. And I came out afterwards. There was a reception, and the O'Callaghan twins and Jake Keenan and some of the guys came over and tackled me. I've only met them once in my life, but they came out and tackled me and threw me around. And, you know, they thought that I was doing a 10-minute PowerPoint presentation. They didn't realize that I was actually making a film. But the point that I'm getting to is that everyone in Michael's orbit, at least the ones that I've met thus far, have some history of service to others. I mean, his dad, Vietnam vet, combat decorated Vietnam vet who became mm-hmm. prosecutor. His mom, a teacher. His best friends were all first responders or yeah. teachers. So this community in Long Island, where Michael grew up, is just this extraordinary bunch of folks who just that it's part of their ethos and part of their lifestyle is to serve others. And that's the one thing that I took away from this. And, you know, if I would have had more money and more time to unpack that a little bit, I wish I could have, but, that's one of the most inspiring things about the film to me is when I watch it, and I've seen it over 400 times, you know, I see these guys and I know that each and every one of them has had some history of service to others. And that's pretty cool.
Well, and one of the things that touched me about the movie and Dan, I'm sure, this will mean something to you is the story, that Michael's mother was talking about him being, standing up for a bullied kid at school. And sort of like getting the call and saying, hey, there's an altercation and he's not really in trouble. But that really touched me because I had a similar experience with my own son who he's in third grade and he stood up for another kid and it kind of turned into a scuffle and that sort of thing. And I told him, I'm like, I said kind of what your attitude was of, you know, sometimes you're going to get in trouble for doing the right thing. And that really sort of touched me on that.
It shows good parenting too. I mean, they understand the significance of what they did and the reason why they did it. I have to tell you what I really liked about Scott's story is while Scott's story is about Michael, uh-huh. it could be about anybody. It could have been about Danny Dietz. It could have yeah. been about Matt Axelson. If you read them, it's amazing how Navy SEALs are almost like cookie cutters of each other. Yeah. And Michael's story is Dan Healy's story. Maureen's story is Natalie Healy's story, or Cindy Dietz's story, or even Matt Axelson's mom's story, Donna. It's when you talk to them, you hear similarities, which was rather interesting. So Michael is while it's Michael's story, and there's specific instances of Michael, it's actually an everyman's story having to do with most Navy SEALs who are just like Michael. They tend to be very humble. They're quiet professionals. They don't go out telling people how great they are. And they're most of them are sports-minded. So it would be nice to see this happen on a more regular basis with others who have not only made the ultimate sacrifice, but who are sacrificing and or serving this nation today.
We probably should wrap up here, but I have one final question for both of you. If you take a moment to answer, what do you want people to take away from this movie after seeing it?
I'll let Dan take that first.
Okay. I hope what they take away from the movie is that there are servicemen, first responders out there every day doing a job, a dangerous job, that people don't really connect with. And they don't ask for any thank yous. They don't ask for anything. They just do their job helping others. And that it's not just about them. It's about the families that are behind them. Because for every first responder and armed service personnel who's out there on the front lines, there's a family behind him or her who are going through similar emotions and events that Maureen and I and Michael's close friends and family went through. And so this is really a story about every man and not just Michael's story. And so that's the overall connection, I think, is that Michael could be any serviceman, servicewoman, Navy SEAL, Delta operator, Special Forces, and the family that's behind them and what they have to deal with, the worry that they go through, all those range of emotions as to when they're out on the front lines.
Scott?
I would echo Dan's sentiment that it's the person's life, to give an analogy, is a pebble in a pond, and when a pebble's tossed in and those rings spread out, when a family loses a warrior the way that Dan and Maureen lost Michael, it's not this vacuum of sorrow in one house in Long Island. It's a whole community that feels that. And you know, one thing that I still get really I get emotional about the one scene with the fire truck, you know, with Patch all written on the ladder and the big flag from Michael's funeral. And you know, people are affected. This is not something that happens. It's not an esoteric event. When we lose somebody, it matters. It matters to a lot of people, and it hurts. And, you know, I didn't want to make a film that was maudlin. I wanted people to walk out of there inspired. But I think it's important to know that heartbreak is forever. You know, you get over it some, but people, it's a traumatic, life-changing event. And, you know, Mike, like Dan said, Michael is the archetype for all of our troops that we lose. And all the families feel that same kind of pain.
All right. Well, thank you both for taking the time to talk to me. Scott, thank you for making the movie. Dan, thank you for your service to this country and your sacrifice and your son's service to this country.
Kevin, thank you for having me on, giving me the opportunity to talk about Michael and also about Scott's wonderful movie, Murph the Protector. I think it's an important message.
It's been the greatest honor of my life, and I appreciate it.